Welcome to another edition of Texans Talk right here on Texans Wire, part of the USA Today Sports Group. We really appreciate you listening. Sorry that we didn't have a podcast available on Friday, but with the NFL Combine going on, it was a little hectic, and now we're all situated and we're back, and we can dive into what happened at the NFL Combine. You know, the Texans are really doing their homework when it comes to cornerbacks. Byron Murphy, the self-proclaimed best cornerback in the draft, he had a formal meeting with the Texans, and now you see him in the mock drafts. That's where people are starting to have him going, is to the Houston Texans at 23rd overall. Again, my deal is you have 4 picks in the top 100. That's good. But if you take a cornerback in the first round like that, well, you better make sure that you shore up the offensive line later on in the draft. You just gotta. And I'm talking with the remaining top 100 picks. You got those second round picks, 54th overall and 55th overall. You want to make sure that you use one of those on an offensive lineman. So that's where it stands with the Texans, is it looks like that, you know, what do the mock people know? But Doug Fair from Touchdown Wire has Byron Murphy going to the Texans, for example. We had an article, Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports has Byron Murphy going to the Texans. If they do that, like I said, you better shore up the offensive line. But, you know, cornerback is a problem too, because Jonathan Joseph is, let's face it, he's old, okay? Into NFL standards we're talking about, he's old. 35 years old come opening day of 2019 of his 14th professional season. Then you have now a vacancy at cornerback with Kevin Johnson, who the Texans let go on Tuesday. Which, by the way, that saves them some money. They don't have to shell out $9.1 million, and they don't get hit with dead money either. So that was smart by the Texans to do that. Then Kareem Jackson, he's on an expiring deal. He's probably not gonna come back with the Texans. So they really have to figure out what's going on in that regard. So they're probably gonna have to use a first-round pick. We'll see how it all shakes out. We'll see what happens in the draft, because the Kyler Murray effect, what kind of effect is that going to have on the rest of the draft? Because if he's, you know, taken up at the top there and he's pushing everyone else down, then that's going to be problematic. Well, it's going to be good-lamatic. Let's just say that. How's that going to be? There's a new word for you. Because, you know, if he's pushing all the talent down, then maybe you can catch an offensive lineman. But it depends on who you're going to catch. I mean, maybe what they do is they take cornerback in the first round, and then you get Yodney Kajust in the second round. Because he's someone that pass rushers in the Big 12 were mentioning as, I'm talking LJ Collier from TCU, the guy from Texas, I can't pronounce his name, that's really what the deal is, Charles, anyway, you got him, those guys. They mentioned that Yodney Kajust was an offensive lineman, a tackle, that was one of the toughest that they faced. So maybe you pick him up in the second round. Then that really helps the whole situation with addressing the offensive line, while at the same time you address cornerback. So that's where Houston probably go. I think it should be flipped. I think you got to address the offensive line with as premium of a pick as possible. Of course, not to the point where you say, no matter what, we're taking an offensive lineman. If you have a cornerback that is a best player available, that is the best player available compared to the offensive lineman, you obviously go there. But the fact of the matter is they have to use one of those top 100 picks to address the offensive line. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We have 2 months now until the NFL draft. That'll be a lot of fun to see what happens in terms of all that. And then the pro days are all throughout March, you know. So, all right, here's the deal. Is the Texans tag Jadeveon Clowney, right? They didn't do it because he's not a hard worker, or they don't like him, or they don't think he's responsible enough. Think about it. Because Dallas tagged DeMarcus Lawrence, right? Now, why would Dallas do that? Kansas City tagged D. Ford, too. Who had a better season than DeMarcus Lawrence and Jadeveon Clowney? As a matter of fact, I think he was up there with J.J. Watt in a lot of stats, particularly forced fumbles, if I'm not mistaken. Why'd they tag him? What's the commonality? Think about it. What's the commonality between Dallas, Houston, and Kansas City? They have young talent that are on rookie deals, and they have quarterbacks who are on rookie deals. And so they have to figure it out. Whether or not paying a premier pass rusher like that is really worth it, or if it's going to send them to cap hell when they have to just, like, almost, you know, as an obligation, have to extend their young quarterbacks who are playoff. Well, Watson isn't, but the other two guys are playoff winning, and I think Watson is definitely going to be in that category of getting a playoff win, you know? So they have to figure these things out. They don't want to have the team cap strapped, and that's it. That's it. In terms of what's going on. So, they tag Clowney. What does that mean? July 15th is the new deadline to get something worked out. I think that... Now, watch this. If they classify him as a defensive end, that's roughly $17 million that he makes this year. If they tag him as a linebacker, that's roughly $15 million that Clowney makes. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it's a difference of $1.7 million. We have an article on it, though, at TexansWire.com that you can take a look at. So that's what's going on with Clowney. And I think that they can do this thing where they can tag, they can... Now that they've tagged him, they can trade him for 2 first-round picks, or a team would have to give up 2 first-round picks to take him, depending on what kind of tender they gave him. I just don't see that as a possibility. They really want to keep Clowney. You know, they don't think that he's not an issue in terms of locker room stuff. They like Clowney. Okay, they want to figure a way to try to keep him without cap strapping the team. So, that's what the Texans have been up to in terms of Clowney. Now, another issue that they're going to have to... Well, we talked about cornerback. Aaron Colvin, I think he's not being talked about a lot, but he had an injury, and Brian Gain mentioned it in his press conference at the draft that Aaron Colvin, his injury problems were what kept him from really participating and getting back into the rotation. And he played 10 games. He only started in two. He had one pass deflection, two fumble recoveries, and just about 30 combined tackles. They just didn't see a lot from him. And I think that he could be part of the solution. It's not being talked about at corner. 4-year, $34 million contract, $18 million guaranteed. And you had a game last season, the rematch with the Colts, and they lose 24-21. T.Y. Hilton is just burning Sharice Wright, and Aaron Colvin can't get a solitary defensive snap. He's relegated to special teams. Well, allegedly it was due to injuries. Well, that's what Gaines says. That's what Bill O'Brien said at the end of the year. It was injuries. Well, if it's injuries, then that ankle injury, you'd have to hope that Colvin gets over it and he's able to contribute and, like I said, be a part of the solution. Because they really, you think about how thin they are at cornerback. They've got Joseph. They're not going to have Jackson. They don't have Johnson anymore. I mean, do you want Sharice Wright and Kayvon Webster? You know? So they really only got about Joseph and Colvin. In terms of, starting quality, give you good snaps type of guys. So it's almost like they have to address the position. And they met with Greedy Williams. They met with Byron Murphy. Yeah, they're getting serious about addressing it in the draft. And again, it's just how's the offensive line going to play out? I think that in terms of free agency, Brian Gain used a term called selectively aggressive. And just by using that phrase to me signals, oh yeah, well, we're not going to try to get Le'Veon Bell. Because if you were aggressive, then you would. So that's an area that needs to be upgraded. He also said that they view Lamar Miller as their starting running back in 2019. Uh-huh. He's on the last year of his deal. They see him as their starting running back. I mean, that just all about says that they're not going to go after Le'Veon Bell. So I think what's going to happen, and you saw this with the Travion Williams, he had a formal meeting with the Houston Texans at the NFL Combine. I think that's what's going to happen, is they're going to look for running back help in the draft. And they're going to add to their running back stable. So I think that Lamar Miller is going to be the chairman. He's going to be the chairman of the committee. He's going to be the guy at the top of the, he's going to be the king of the mountain, but he's somebody that Dante Foreman, the draft pick, heck, even Buddy Howell, because Bill O'Brien mentioned that he liked Buddy Howell at the end of the 2018 season. I think that though it's going to be the job of those guys, the way that they're setting it up, is that they are going to depose Lamar Miller. That's how they're setting it up. And they'll have a transition of power that way. You know, Dante Foreman, Bill O'Brien mentioned at the Combine that he, what was the deal with him? The deal with Dante Foreman was, it was at the end of the year when he was starting to make a comeback and running back roles had been defined by that point. What? That, to me, that just didn't, I didn't understand that, because what roles? Starting in week 14, they only had one game among the final four where, as a team, they rushed over 100 yards. And in three of those four games, Deshaun Watson was the leading rusher. What are we talking about here? I don't get it. I don't get, I mean, I would think when you're having trouble, this is just me, I would think that when you're having trouble running the ball for two consecutive games, that you come out in the Eagles game and, instead of Alfred Blue, you just, what the heck? Let's try to get Dante Foreman going. I would think that in the Jets game, after you had trouble in the Colts game running the football, you activate Dante Foreman and you give him some reps and you get him ready to go to be your lead back. O'Brien said it. He said that his ability to cut, his ability to move, and everything was fine. That wasn't the issue. The issue was it was the roles were kind of defined. It's the same kind of thing that they tell you in terms of cornerback. Oh, the roles were defined, everything, it's too hard to come back, and that's why Aaron Colvin wasn't able to come back. The same thing with Foreman and running back. But clearly something's not working. You can blame the offensive line. More than likely it was. But you have something you could try. Make Foreman, the lead back. No. But Foreman, hey, he did have a touchdown that helped spark the comeback in Philadelphia. He was good out of the backfield, at least for that one play to help spark the comeback. But it'll be interesting to see what Foreman's able to do. I really want to. Foreman has a foundation, by the way, that I want to talk to you about for no reason. I just want to give you the airtime, give my airtime to talk about Foreman. And who is this here? Yeah, the Dante Foreman Family Foundation. Even though he was recovering from his Achilles tear, he was still involved in that and doing a good job. So I really look forward to partnering with them and helping, because that's really something that I think that all of us who have this platform should do is, when they get in a car wreck or they get suspended or arrested or whatever ignorant things they do, that gets highlighted. How much better of a world would it be if we saw the people that are making gobs of money for no reason at all? I mean, let's be honest. I don't know. Okay, it's true. Why are pro athletes getting millions of dollars for entertainment? Why do people in Hollywood get millions of dollars just for entertainment, for something fictitious? I mean, do you really need a football game to live? Yes, but do you really need a football game to live? Were humans designed to where they needed football to live? No. Were we designed to where we needed to watch television and movies to live and listen to music? No. So why are they getting millions of dollars and making more than some, the GDP of some countries? Why is this happening? Okay? So the thing to do, I think, then, as the media, is to cover when people like that do great things for the community and try to inspire others. Because when if they get in a car wreck or a DUI or something, well, that is going to get written up. But at the end of the day, hey, even though it's factual, who does it help to have that written up? And to have that everywhere. Doesn't really help anybody. If anything, it engenders bitterness and envy. Because you think, oh, well, some bum like that gets millions of dollars when I can't even make the house payment, or I'm trying to support my special needs kid. And if only I had that amount of money, but instead that bum can't even get his car registered or go get his picture made to get a driver's license, and he just throws away tens of thousands of dollars on something idiotic like that. Okay, so that'll get written up. If these guys are doing something great for the community and trying to use their platform of pro football to give back and to inspire others, I think we got to do it. We got to talk about it. It has to be a story, because that helps humanity. That helps people feel inspired to know that there's someone out there that is doing good in the world. And it has the effect of thinking, well, if they can do that, if they're doing that with their influence, then what can I do in my own realm to be the change, you know, to affect a positive change. So that's why we run that stuff. And like I said, look forward to working with the Dante Foreman Family Foundation as the off season goes along. What a rant that was. 5 minutes of preaching. Okay, yeah, well, after 5 minutes worth of preaching, I think it's best to get out of here and let you get on to Sunday school then, at least. You know, you can have the donuts and the coffee and the juice and the, you know, on your way to Sunday school. You know, my church did that. I like that. We called it passing of the snacks, or at least my family did. Anyway, getting off topic here, let's get serious. We'll be back Friday. We'll be back on schedule again with another edition of Texans Talk. And Anthony Wood is going to be hosting. And if, you know, the good Lord's willing and the rates on the Creek Turnpike don't rise, he'll be talking with D.P. Sidhu from HoustonTexans.com. I can't wait to hear that interview. D.P., she's so nice. She's so giving. She's such a wonderful person. And she knows a lot about the 2018 AFC, the five-time AFC South champ Houston Texans. She knows her stuff. Can't wait to hear that conversation. We'll be dropping it Friday on Texans Wire. So that's what happened at the NFL Combine. That's what's happening in free agency. And we'll see what happens next time on Texans Talk.